The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
No, I am not Gil Alexander. This is Dustin Sweetelson filling in all week long on a numbers game. Thanks for hanging out with us. He is Kelly Bidlin. I'm doing my New Age Outlaws.
Though. I like when you do that. Yeah, that's cool.
Those that can't see, it means you're just listening. We appreciate you doing so. Sirius XM channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, radio affiliates everywhere, and on Game Plus in Canada.
Nailed it.
Ooh, we're remembering things.
And the Northeast. We've got a lot of Game Plus comments from New York, Ohio.
Yeah, but it's
area.
Fake New York. It's up. It's near. It's,
right.
It's,
fake New York.
There's
yeah.
a few different areas of New York. There's outside of New York City, New York.
Sorry, Fred Courier.
There is borderline Canada, New York. Mm. And then there's middle of the state, New York, that looks like the middle of Georgia.
Mm.
It's the same thing. If you took a picture and you said, I am in the South, people would believe it.
I believe you.
I just wanted to point that out. As someone who's from New York, don't come at me. You're all so sensitive when we talk about your region. Or you say anything that may be something you don't like. People get really, really butthurt over here. All right. Reading some tweets. We get tweets. Dustin Sweetelson, at Kelly Bidlin, at VSiN Live. Let's see. Let's go with Steve the Proxy, our guy. The Lombardo at Bagel Mania. Now, have you been to Bagel Mania? Right around the corner.
No.
Really? Siegel's Bagel Mania? It's near Westgate?
No, big bagel spot.
Yeah. They're opening one by me in Summerlin here. Great bagel spot. No free ads, though. It's not my number one bagel spot in town.
It's been years since I've been over there.
But the bagel is my preferred carbohydrate vehicle. That is number one for me. It is also the most dense, which is a surprise nobody, but also playing into my stereotypes as a Jewish man wanting a bagel over everything else. Let's see. Jason Stark writes in. He tweeted you because for some reason I think he blocked me. I don't really understand it. JStark3
wow.
on X. Yeah, I'm calling him out. You may have missed it, but that Sandlot thing was really a promotion of a reboot show that they're doing. Yeah, I mean, I assume everything that looks good and feels good these days, there's some underlying like ad baked into it.
Wait, there was? What they did this like for six? I watched the replay this morning for like 6 minutes. I didn't notice any of that.
I think I heard they're making another Sandlot. They're using, I think, some of the actors from. I think it's their kid. It's going to be like their kids are playing Sandlot now. Something like that.
Wow. Okay.
If we're going to be like, correct,
that's what the movie's about. I guess they can still get half the actors.
I think it'd be their grandkids because wasn't that based on like the 60s? Maybe great grandkids?
Yeah.
Unless we go back in time, it doesn't have to be about current day, I guess.
Who was the catcher? He like lives out here.
Hamilton Porter.
Yeah, Hamilton Porter. He's done ads for stations.
Hey, yo, he had a run. That and the big green back to back.
Oh, man.
You thought he was
run,
going
yes.
to be the next big thing in like kid comedy. And it just goes to show you these windows close pretty quickly.
I mean, how many times when you first saw a movie afterward, did you just yell at someone, hurry up, my clothes are going out of style?
I mean, everything from the movie.
It was fantastic.
Are you allowed to tell people they play ball like a girl anymore? I feel like that is not allowed in today's society. But it was allowed
you
in the 60s, though.
Play ball like a girl.
All right. Brian M. writes in on the big breakfast debate, big on ethnic dishes. Huevos Divorciados, I don't know what that is. Huevos Rancheros, I know what that is. Shakshuka, a little overrated, but I get it. And similar dishes. Would chilaquiles be in that mix? Chilaquiles is a big fan. When I went to Mexico City, I ate chilaquiles twice.
I don't know what that is.
They take tortilla chips.
Okay.
They cook them in salsa, so they soften up, and then they drop some eggs and queso fresco on top.
That sounds fantastic.
It is delicious. All right, and I believe that is it for the tweets coming in here. Although, shout out to Rich Young. He likes us. He says we're excellent together. And then my comments about if you eat a sweet breakfast, you're six was hilarious. And then finally, Beryl Nelson writes in about my comments about Spain. Spain should be fine unless they hire Mitch Johnson, the coach, and replace Yamal at striker with De'Aaron Fox. That might be the tweet of the day. That might be the tweet of the day.
Ah, it really is.
Beryl Nelson. All right. Want to revisit the NBA win total conversation because there's a team that you're high on. I know Mitch Moss is high on them. I believe Zach Cohen is high on them. And I think when you think about the build, right, getting to a point where you're trying to win basketball games after being bad for so long, but actually having good players and probably a surprise last year with a guy who should have been the most improved player in the league. We are talking about the Utah Jazz, Kelly.
Yep.
Why are the Utah Jazz at over 35.5, one of your favorite win totals?
Look, I've got four. These got released at DraftKings yesterday. That's it. I think FanDuel has most of these up now. I'm hoping MGM and Caesars hurry up and get these up. They'll probably be the first two here in Nevada. I've got four I'm ready to fire on right away. And Jazz over 35.5. I expect it to be popular. Expect to hear it a lot this offseason. But yeah, it makes a lot of sense. This is a completely different team with completely different motivations from what they had a season ago. Nick Whalen hit on it a bit, but this was one of those teams that was purposely sitting out players, was purposely dodging certain situations to lose games, to put themselves in a situation where they could go get Darren Peterson, who, yes, I think is damn special. And then you add him alongside what they have with Keontae George and Lauri Markkanen already. You have Jaren Jackson Jr. coming in. I think this is a team that is set to go from a very few wins to, guess what, about a 500 team. And that's a 1 year leap that I think you should expect. So they're my favorite real quick.
Yeah.
The other ones that I did circle, Pistons under 50.5 wins. This is kind of just the regression. You talked about it, them finishing with the one seed in the East this past season. I haven't really loved what they have done in the offseason. There are issues right now on that roster that they need to address. We'll see if they figure that out. Jalen Duren, what's going to happen with him is still a question mark. 50.5 wins, I think, is a lot for a Pistons team in a much tougher Eastern Conference. I think that's the only thing you got to be careful with some of these win totals. Like, I have one of them on here. Pacers over 43.5 wins. Remember, this is a Pacers team that will be completely different. This is a Pacers team that gets back Tyrese Haliburton and has all those great pieces coming back that were on an NBA Finals team just 2 years ago. But look at all those windows that we had in the Eastern Conference. Look at what the Eastern Conference is going to look like. It is going to be tougher. So that's probably the one on here I'm the least confident about, but would still bet if these were available to me today, Pacers over 43.5 wins. And then the one I'm sure I'll catch some heat for this one, Dustin, with how they went out in the playoffs. But the Houston Rockets, they're a team I will go over 47.5 wins. There's a lot of things that are going to be overlooked about this team. Reminder, Fred VanVleet did not play all of last year, and that was such a big issue for this team. A facilitator, get this offense going, get Kevin Durant into good spots. That's what they were missing for all of the season. And then this was a really good team when Steven Adams was healthy, and the entire offense was Kevin Durant, shoot the ball. We're going to dominate the glass on offensive rebounds, and we're going to kick it back out for an extra possession. Steven Adams got hurt halfway through the year. These guys are going to be back for the Houston Rockets, a team you brought this up before, Dustin. This is a team I don't trust at all. In the playoffs, I think they are a great regular season team in Houston Rockets.
That is Kelly Bidlin. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're locked into a numbers game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. In case you missed it last night, the All-Star game ends with the American League winning. +110, 4-0 final score. We go under the total. This one went from 7.5 to 8 to 8.5 at close. We end up going way under despite a bunch of runs being scored in the opening inning of the contest. With that, MLB's second half is right around the corner. Mets-Phillies will begin things coming up, I believe, tomorrow is when we get started. And with that, I'm trying to put some stuff together for the second half because some of these numbers don't make sense to me. I made the case for the Rays, 15-1 best record earlier in the program. Let's talk about fewest wins real quickly here. I'm looking at the odds
this
for fewest wins.
This is
going
to be a fun race.
I think we can go a little bit longer here.
Really?
I don't think it's the Rockies like everyone just assumes. So right now in the betting market, Colorado's even money. The Angels are +220. The Royals are +260. And then it jumps up with the A's at 16-1. One for Colorado. They're a bunch of young dudes. They're not going to intentionally lose. Like, there's no tanking involved here.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're going to have the absolute worst record in baseball because as of right now, Kelly, these teams are pretty close together, and I think some of these young guys could be better for Colorado. They could be a little bit punchy in the second half. Colorado's 39-59. After that, you have the Angels. The Angels are going to be the same, kind of like Colorado. They're not trading off pieces. No one's buying any of these guys. Mm. Everyone they want to keep is controllable and young and under contract. They don't really have a lot of veterans they're looking to move that would impact things in a big way. Jorge Soler might be the only one. The Royals at +260. They've already said they're not going to trade Michael Wacha. And if they're not going to trade Michael Wacha, I'm not sure who else they're going to trade. So they may just be running it back next year with a similar core. The A's, a young up-and-coming team, more guys coming up who look good, they're going to get healthier. I can't bet them.
Right.
The New York Mets are about to be sellers at the deadline.
Ooh.
They are 22-1 to have the fewest wins in the regular season. What if they sell everything? That includes Devin Williams. That includes Luke Weaver at the bullpen. Freddie Peralta, who's been a disaster. Bo Bichette, who's likely going to opt out of his deal anyway. Maybe Luis Robert, whose contract's up. Jorge Polanco signed a multi-year deal. It's been a mess because he hasn't been healthy, but there's a chance they move off of him as well. And then most importantly, Francisco Lindor. You trade a 70% of those guys that I just named, this is a bad baseball team. It's a bad baseball team with him. What are they without him? You look at the schedule, they still have 3 with the Dodgers, 6 with the Brewers, 3 with the Rays, 6 with the Braves, 7 with the Phillies, 3 with the Yankees. The Mets could be in a lot of trouble here. They have the hardest remaining schedule in baseball. I think the Mets at 22-1 is worth a look for the worst record.
I kind of like it. I was going to ask you about the Giants.
I won't go there with the Giants because I think they're going to keep a bunch of these guys, and like the pitching always makes them contenders in that ballpark. But I mean, I could get there 25-1. I mean,
I think the biggest point here, though, is, I mean, you brought up off the top. I think for people like me, you think about the Rockies and Angels being so bad. Go look at the standings. I mean, it's Royals and Angels. Royals, Angels, Rockies, all with 59 losses. The Rockies have one more win than the Angels and the Royals. But these teams, I mean, the Mets are only 2 games better. They're only 2 games up on where the Royals and Angels are at.
I watch the Mets as much as I can, like, stomach these days. They're horrible at baseball. Francisco Lindor booted a ball that would have resulted in a win against Boston and putting them away. Instead, they got swept by the Red Sox over the weekend. It has been an absolute mess. So that's where we stand. I'll have a little bit more on some of these futures, though, in terms of home run leader, strikeout leader, and more. But when we return, my favorite Heisman bet on the board. This player, this situation, this team, a combination of track records coming together. Who is it for Heisman? I'll explain next on A Numbers Game.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Justin Sweetelson filling in for Gil Alexander all week long on A Numbers Game. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's a fun time of year, man. For me, I love baseball. I love the second half. I love these pennant pushes. About a year ago this time, I picked up a bunch of like tickets on futures where they end up being profitable. I was able to make money off of them. I had long shots on the Brewers and the Mariners. Here's the thing. The waters are muddy, and I don't know which direction I'm looking thus far. Like, I don't know who I'm buying in on. That's why I ended up on the Philadelphia Phillies.
I got a Phillies make the playoffs ticket from a while ago, so I'll be rooting them with you, and I'm going to make that exact. Whatever we get the other side.
Teamwork.
I think we have the answer, but maybe not.
Yeah, I think we know which one, like, is the most fun. Whether it's the most realistic, I don't know.
That's where you've got to be in charge. You've got to be in charge because you know I'll fire on
but
that
But I'm
one.
Also very biased because the team that's the most fun is one that I've also bet as a long shot as well. So it's like,
yeah, we got a problem.
Yeah, if we're going all in on my thoughts, that can be a dangerous game. Just ask my therapist.
I got a question. I got a baseball question for you. You are right. This returns tomorrow. Mets, Phillies, first game back. Is this how long the break has always been? And I just don't remember. Feel like the break has been longer than this.
I think there's always one standalone in the return. What network is that on? Is it on NBC?
ESPN tomorrow night.
Oh, it's on ESPN?
7 p.m. tomorrow night.
Really?
Eastern.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know why I did not anticipate it being on ESPN. That is very odd. Okay, but yeah, returns Phillies Mets, and I anticipate the Phillies to roll over them. I don't think the Phillies have announced a starter yet. You have to remember Zach Wheeler threw on Sunday before the All-Star break. Christopher Sanchez. Honestly, I was watching Christopher Sanchez throw in the All-Star game yesterday. He looked bad in the first inning.
Yeah,
and he's had some bad starts this year, but they've all been on the road. That's the first time at Citizens Bank where he didn't look right. I'm a bit concerned because he pitched Saturday. He just pitched Tuesday. I hope they give him a little bit more rest before his first start in the second half.
Yeah, I think that's one you got to be careful reading too much into last night, right? It's an all-star game. Who knows what's not normal and out of the norm for their prep, right? Going into the game, all that stuff.
No, but it's just the short turnaround really concerns
me.
Right,
I get that part.
All right, well, it's not a short turnaround for football season. We've been waiting for it. As soon as it ends, we're clamoring, we're sweating, we're thinking about it. And today, ACC Media Days goes down. I believe they're still in North Carolina doing these things. I went to one time.
Greensboro?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. Middle of nowhere. Nice resort I went to, though.
They always have great facilities for this type of stuff. I've been to Greensboro for
a
wedding.
It's cushy. Oh, really?
I was there for a wedding, and I was like, wow, this city really is designed just for, like, ACC stuff. It's great.
Just ACC country. Your favorite to win the ACC is the Miami Hurricanes.
Ew.
And they are meeting with the media right now as we speak at these media days. Look, I'm a Miami fan. I'll be fully transparent with you guys. There's not very often I buy into Mario Cristobal and what they did, but you can't deny what he's built. Right. Over the last few years, they keep getting better. They were in the playoff last year. They went to the championship game and they looked like a different team once we got to the playoff with a bunch of grown men pushing people around at the line of scrimmage. This year, it's going to be a little bit different in the approach, but I still think the success is there for Miami. They're -136. The second shot on the board is SMU at 7-1. Louisville's 8-1. Clemson all the way up to 14-1.
Yeah.
Virginia 16-1. Pitt 17-1. Then it gets a lot bigger after that. Miami meets with the media today, Florida State later today, Stanford, NC State, and Virginia all going through the rounds today. And this is the team, this is the player I've been talking about for the Heisman. It's not like a sleeper. It's not anything sneaky here. But when it comes to Heisman Trophy, CJ Carr is the favorite with Notre Dame. I love CJ Carr. I think Notre Dame absolutely deserves the respect to be atop the board to win the national title. I am not betting a Heisman winner at this point of the game at 7-1. Arch Manning, 8-1. Yes, Arch Manning got better as the year went on, but I still have questions. Texas has a lot of pressure on them, and while I think Arch Manning is all the talent in the world, that is a super short number for him after failing a year ago. Dante Moore, 10-1. I had Dante Moore last year. He was one of my favorite plays at about 25-1. That's a short number. Team's good. They did lose a lot last year. Julian Sain at 12-1 feels like more of a game manager, and sitting there in the same odds with Julian Sain is Miami's new quarterback, Darian Mensah. And Darian Mensah is an experienced quarterback. He comes into Miami from Duke, where he has a lot of experience. He played at Tulane a couple of years ago, was awesome with the Blue Devils last season, 66.8% completion rate, 3,900 yards, 34 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. And then as a freshman at Tulane, he threw for 22 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. But what's important about Darian Mensah is the situation he's walking into. And it's a group and a coaching staff that knows how to utilize transfers specifically at the quarterback position. I take you back 2 years ago, Cam Ward, number one pick in the draft, going from Washington State to Miami.
Yep.
People like Cam Ward. He was not supposed to be the number one pick in the draft. Who'd he play for? Shannon Dawson and Mario Cristobal. Dawson's the OC. Dawson is still there. Last year, Carson Beck goes from Georgia to Miami. Say whatever you want about Carson Beck. 3,800 yards, 30 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, completed 72.4% of his passes.
I mean, his career outlook is better after his time at Miami than it was heading into it.
Drafted by the Arizona Cardinals this year. And I don't think either of these guys have the talent of Darian Mensah as a thrower of the football. Now, he's not a dual threat. He's a thrower of the football. The question is for Darian Mensah, will he have the offensive line play that they had a year ago? Because they have to replace 4 starters there. But that's today's college football world.
Yeah.
You go buy your offensive lineman in the portal. The best teams are doing it. Everyone's in the same boat. So when people are previewing teams, you give credit to teams like we have one later today. I believe it's Virginia returning all of their offensive line for the most part. But you can still build through the portal in the offensive line game. And then when it comes to weapons, this is where Mensah's numbers are going to be crazy. He brings with him from Duke Cooper Barkate. Cooper Barkate was awesome at Harvard. Last year at Duke had 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns. Malachi Toney is there at Miami. He is a guy who's electric, who they call Baby Jesus. And awesome. I mean, that's because the skill set that he has, he can take short passes a long way. He can make his quarterback look good. He can go up and get it. He can burn guys on deep routes. He is an all everything wide receiver. And then you look at, they bring in Vandravius Jones, a sophomore from South Carolina. He had over 500 yards a year ago. Cam Vaughn, a sophomore from West Virginia, had 541 yards a year ago, 4 touchdowns at Jack State a couple years ago. That guy had 800 yards receiving. There are a lot of weapons here. You combine all of that with the upside of this offense, with a Miami defense that I think is going to be good, but not elite. And if it takes a step back, like I'm anticipating from a year ago, what does that mean for Miami? It means higher scoring, higher possession games. So let's go back. Let's circle back on everything now of the case for Darian Mensah to win the Heisman Trophy. One, it's an experienced guy. Mm-hmm. And by the way, transfers are winning the Heisman, it seems like, almost every single year.
Yeah.
Quarterback, that's what you're looking for here. Quarterback with experience, quarterback who can chuck the football, quarterback with weapons to put up gaudy numbers, with an offensive coordinator in Shannon Dawson who knows how to work with someone coming in after 1 year, maximizing their abilities. He did it with Cam Ward. He did it with Carson Beck, plus the weapons. Malachi Toney, Cooper Barkate, that's as good of a 1-2 punch as you're going to have in today's college football. Plus you add in Jones from South Carolina, the West Virginia kid in Cam Vaughn, and then the defense. Because I don't anticipate the defense being dominant, that means a lot of possessions. That means a lot more scoring. That means the numbers jump off the page. You can get Darian Mensah to win the Heisman Trophy at circa right now at 16-1. DK's 12-1. FanDuel's 11-1. MGM also 11-1. To me, just the value that circa's offering on 16-1. I think Mensah is as good, if not better, than everyone ahead of him in terms of skill set and talent. And then the situation, everything says that he could have a monster season. I love him to win the Heisman.
Okay, I like it. I will not be betting on a Miami, Florida quarterback to win it, but yeah.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because Florida State's meeting with the media today, and Florida State, let me find those odds. Yeah. Real quickly, yeah. Let's read this quote from Brett McMurphy via Mario Cristobal at ACC Media Days real quick. Mensah, why they brought him in. Quote, we were in the market for a quarterback, and when Darian was in the portal, we felt this is a guy we would love to pursue. Watching the crossover tapes with so many ACC opponents we had faced, we saw his level of talent, but what took us by surprise is what an incredible young man he is and his levels of leadership. That is everything you're looking for mm-hmm. in a Heisman candidate.
Yeah, on a team that's expected to win a lot, right? I think it's a good-looking bet. It makes a lot of sense. I don't know if we have that ACC futures board again, Danny, if we can throw that up, but I will tell you from the, I don't remember a point in the offseason as a Florida State fan.
I'm trying to find Florida State. I can't find it.
I don't remember a year where this has looked this gross in July 15th ever. Miami, an odds-on favorite with 97 teams in the conference, and then Florida State 35-1. Gross.
Your boys will talk to the media today. Mike Norvell, seventh season, 38-34 at FSU, went 5-7 a year ago. They're off consecutive losing seasons after winning the ACC in 2023. They were held out of the playoff. Since then, they are 7-18 straight up.
Jeez.
7-18 straight up. For some reason, the booster support isn't there for Florida State. I don't understand it.
Yeah, well because they bother us too much for money all the time.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. So you're not willing to pony up for that? The reason Ashton Daniels, you heard it here first, folks. The reason Ashton Daniels is starting at quarterback for Florida State this year is because Kelly Bidlin wouldn't give them the money to buy a better quarterback.
That's right. That's right. I refuse. I've never donated a single dollar to that school, and I never will. That's a clean transaction, Dustin. I paid to go to school. You gave me a degree. We're done. We go our separate ways.
I get it. I don't donate to Valdosta State either. I gave you tuition money. Okay?
Right, exactly.
Go hit up the donors. Win total for Florida State, 6.5 over plus 140. You can go 5.5 at under plus 154. The juice is heavy either way on the other side of those bets. Mike Norvell, he might be put out of his misery in the middle of the season.
Yeah, probably.
It might be time to move on. How should we attack the British Open? We will dissect what we're going to see overseas. Who's the best bet on the board? And is Scottie Scheffler, is that tantalizing enough at 8-1 to win this event? All of that on the other side of a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Kelly Bidlin, I'm Dustin Sweetelson, filling in here for Gil Alexander on a numbers game. Thanks for hanging out with us all day long. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States everywhere. The British Open, we're transitioned from America to Britain, obviously, with our transgressions, our history in the past.
Yes.
You know what
Could
I hear
Could
be
from? A big Sunday in England. Could be.
I also hear British people claim that they didn't care about the Revolutionary War. They were like, you can have it. It's not worth the headache anymore. I feel like that's like me after I lose my long shot bets in the All-Star game yesterday. I'm like, yeah, I went long. I didn't really care. I didn't think it was going to happen anyway.
Is that what they say when we make jokes about like rematches and stuff like that? Like,
well, if you know,
they just didn't care that much.
They're usually on our side a lot because I think we put a little bit of fear into those bones. Mm-hmm, so, All right. Anyway, the British Open's happening this week.
Yes, it is.
Well,
yes,
I guess in just mere hours, right?
Yeah, later tonight. We first tee offs in 13 hours from now.
All right. I still have to figure out who I'm betting. To help me do that, we're bringing on a guest. Byron Lindekue. You know I'm the co-host of Back Nine Bets at The Model Maniac on X is where you can find him on social media. And a gentleman who I got to know because we're in a contest together with our buddy Spencer Aguiar, King of the Draft, where it's all these handicappers together doing a DFS-style format draft. And I was in a group with Byron, Brian Kirshner, and Dan Leach.
A pretty good group to be in.
Well, all three of them know golf. You know who doesn't know golf?
You.
Your boy. You know who won that first round? Your boy. And Byron and myself advance upset of the century. I had a good time doing it. Thanks for doing this today, my friend. Let's start with the British Open because every course brings new opportunities but new strategy. When you think about what we're looking at in the British Open this year, what stands out to you about this course and how you're going to pick certain golfers to win this week?
Yeah, so typically for me, Open Championships, if I'm looking for a winner, I need a second place in a prior major and a top 10 in a prior Open Championship in the last couple of years. But for this course in particular, I was watching the flyover and one of the Golf Digest guys mentioned there, every single golfer that's won here has once won during the peak of his career, like during the absolute best part of his career. It's when they were a juggernaut. This is when they dismantled Birkdale. So finding guys that are playing some good golf, I've filtered on strokes gained over the last 4 months and long-term major data to kind of find an overlap over there with guys. And there's a bunch of guys that check all six boxes I'm looking for this week. And it's Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, and Matt Fitzpatrick.
Yep, love it.
Pushing himself into the elitist tier there up top.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people, including myself, and I think including you, that think he kind of belongs in that conversation this week. Top of the board, it has been the focal point of the conversation in each of the last couple majors, but especially this week. I think Rory's so close to a win just a week ago at the Scottish Open. I think there's a lot of what-ifs going on, right? What if Scottie Scheffler doesn't miss a cut? What if Rory wins this? What does this odds board look like? How are you attacking the top? Do you have any interest in playing Scheffler, Rory at all, or are they going to be complete skips for you?
I might be interested in a Rory McIlroy top five, top 10 bet, okay, but I don't think I'm going to be getting there. If you were interested in anything, that's the way I'd lean. The less you have to invest, the bigger the risk, the better for Rory, really. Mm-hmm. I don't really trust his floor. He's really unreliable in these majors. He could absolutely win them, but also a miscut is absolutely on the cards for some reason, although the last couple Open Championships for him have been pretty good. Scottie's price is although it's drifting, boy, oh boy, I'm not in the mood to lay some juice on a top 10 for Scottie Scheffler at all. So,
ooh, okay.
Just given his current status, although he has been absolutely dominant in these majors, it's just so weird with him right now. I don't know what to expect.
Byron Lindekue is our guest. Byron, when we're looking deep down the board, I'm a long shots guy, not just because it's the name of Kelly's podcast, but I like to have that guy that's going to become live and then I can do something with some of the live action throughout the tournament. When you crunch the numbers, who are some of the longer shots deeper down the board that really jumped out to you this week?
Yeah, the shortest long shot you'll find in golf is Brian Harman, somewhere in the 100 range there. Mm-hmm. Short off the tee, long shot on the betting board. I've got him at 115, 125 out there, depending where you shop. And this guy has finished four of the last five Open Championships inside the top 20. He is the 2023 Open champion. The only time he didn't finish top 20 in the Open was the following year as the defending champion, which it makes total sense in my opinion. So I think finding the top 20 market for Harman somewhere around the plus 280 mark, I think, or plus 260, I think, if I recall correctly there. But whatever you're going to, I think you can ladder him all the way through to the top 20 market with the win being the final bet there in the triple digits.
Okay, I like it, Byron. Byron, host of the Fantasy Degenerates podcast with Kenny Kim. An excellent listen, great episode this week on the Open Championship. I checked that out for, I think, almost all of it. I want to say almost all of it because you guys go for like 2.5 hours. I love you and Kenny, but you guys can talk just like me.
A little lengthy.
A little bit.
Use the timestamps.
Yeah, that's right. Use the timestamps. All of our podcasts have them. Okay, Byron, walk us through the card. I know you got a lot of outrights that you're firing into. A couple that I agree with. Let's start right at the top. Matt Fitzpatrick. We said he belonged with these other names. Why are you going to back to Matt Fitzpatrick here?
Yeah, I think, you know, if they're checking all three boxes together, we can kind of clump them as the elites of the year so far with Rory, Scotty, and Fitz. He's just double the price of them. So, you know, you just the entry barrier for Fitzpatrick allows you to still build an additional bunch of guys on the card there. Whereas, you know, Rory and Scotty are single bullet range, especially if you got into Fitz a little earlier on in the week when he was in the 20s, you know, that's even better. But I'd still lean into the plus 1750 there. I think that makes a lot of sense. Some other guys, Chris Goddard up just a little bit down there, Kelly, 29-1. Love that bet as well. The Lynx legend. You know, I think he's just, anytime you find him on a Lynx golf course right now, things are looking likely to be good. A T11, really disappointing at the Scottish for him, to be honest with you. You know, went into the final round, one back.
I thought he was going to win that thing. I really did. I really did. I'm on Fitz with you, and I'm on Goddard up. And to Byron's point, you heard me talking earlier in the week. I was considering Rory heavily, but that is, given those numbers, if you pass on a Rory where you're probably going single bullet outright like you're talking about, Byron, gives you an option if you want to play Fitz, you want to play Goddard, you can play a couple of these guys.
Byron, I keep staring at Tommy Fleetwood, which I think most people who don't do this week in and week out like you guys do is probably thinking about. The number's gotten pretty short. I'm seeing 15-1 here, 19-1 at DraftKings. Is that just too square to play this week at the British Open?
Chris Goddard up has 5 PGA Tour wins since Scotty Tommy Fleetwood had his last major top 10.
Major top 10. Not his last win. Major top 10.
Wow. That is a great stat. That is a good call.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it there, Dustin. So, don't worry about Tommy Fleetwood, you know. Potentially, as the tournament unfolds, maybe you can grab him for like a third round leader if he's kind of far down the leaderboard, you know, something like that. If he's not in the mix on the weekend, but going into Sunday, you can potentially get him like a nice big top 20 bet. We'll see how it goes there.
Talk to me about Tyrell Hatton. What do you want to do with him? Because that's someone that jumped out to me as well, just because he's a creative shot maker that plays well at this course with some of the elements that they're going to deal with the fairways, the bounces, the bunkers. How do you want to back Hatton this week?
I love Hatton in everything but the outright markets. I'm going to go to him in the top 20. You can find a plus 150 out there. You can go to him in the top 10 market as well at plus 335. And Tyrrell Hatton actually leads the entire field in strokes gained in round one, gains 2.4 strokes in round one. He's gained over 5 strokes in 3 rounds. One of them came at last year's Open Championship. He's gained over 4 strokes in the other round. It came at the Alfred Dunhill Links, both on Thursdays or first rounds. So he gets off to really hot starts, playing some great golf. He's finished inside the top 20 in 3 of the last 4 Open Championships as well. His major pedigree is also trending pretty hard at the moment. So I love him a lot this week too.
Yeah, Byron, I think
Justin Rose.
Yeah, Justin Rose. Talk us through Justin Rose and Tom Kim, because I think those are two guys that will interest a lot of people out there.
Yeah. Tom Kim has the second place finish at the 2023, I think, Open Championship. So he checks both those boxes I need there. And Justin Rose, 1998, he showed up here as a 17-year-old amateur, finished 4th. Pretty sick story. He's obviously been flirting with the leaderboards and wins in Open Championships. Kelly, we spoke about his YouTube video. Mm-hmm. So many close calls that he just couldn't get across the line. Very fair price, somewhere around, you know, in the mid-30s, wherever you shop around. I know there's a 41 out there. So Rosie's trending hard for a top finish in an Open Championship, and it would be so fitting for him to finally get across the line this week. Yeah.
Byron, that was awesome, my friend. Everyone check out Byron Lindekew, co-host, Back 9 Bets, also on X, at the Model Maniac. That was tremendous. We'll do it again soon. Good luck with all the bets. I think I'm going to tell you guys on Fitzpatrick. I think we're all together on that one.
Let's go.
Let's ride.
Let's go. Awesome. Let's go. Stuff. Have a good week, gentlemen.
You too, my friend. You too, my friend. That was Byron Lindekew breaking it down as far as the British Open is concerned. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. When we return, all of Kelly's official plays in the British Open, what he's looking at, plus I'll share a play or two. I will join y'all on more than just Fitzpatrick, British Open talk, MLB second half, and more. That's forthcoming right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Winner Circle, Proxy, and VSiN are giving away two incredible prize packages that will put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contest for free. One winner will receive a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor, and another will win a $1,000 entry into Circa Million. Both winners also receive a full season Winner Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour where I promise I'll wear pants that day unless you don't want me to, and a free month of VSiN Pro access. Enter by Sunday, August 2nd for your chance to win. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter today. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. That's Kelly Bidlin. He has something to say right now.
Yeah, you know what? Last week I claimed I would be by far the best person to give the VSiN studio tour, but I'm realizing today Dustin would be a very close second.
Why?
Because we know how everything works behind the glass as well. Exactly.
Yeah, but you're way more patient than I am with human beings. If we remember when Kelly and Dustin were on the management path at one point here, there were a lot of meetings that ended with Kelly and Dustin yelling at our coworkers.
Yeah, that's true.
And then people would be like, hey, so for management, it's not just about like having power and yelling at people. You actually have to lead them somewhere. And how do I explain this without coming off as such a bag?
You lead by example, Dustin.
Yeah, because I kept doing it. No, it's like, I'm going to call myself this. I may not be a star player host. We were star player producers. Okay. And what I would do is, I would expect people to know what to do in every situation. I'd get annoyed when
they got
to
be taught something.
Yeah. And sometimes you forget that you were an idiot once a long time ago
and
as well.
We were idiots. We still are idiots.
I mean, I'm an idiot, just other things I'm an idiot about.
Yeah, exactly.
Like betting baseball currently. It's not going well. The All-Star break came in a perfect time for your boy.
I'm still blown away. We have like a full card on Friday. Is this every year?
It's always Friday.
Okay.
Always
I feel Friday. Like it was the weekend.
No, it's just that Thursday there's one game, and okay. that's what threw me off. I normally think in the past, and last year there was one on Thursday too, but it's normally Friday where we get going to, you know, full steam
so
ahead.
So maybe that Thursday standalone's a little newer?
I think so.
Or Kelly's just making things up.
I mean, dude, I black out this time of year.
Right, me too, yep.
And in fairness, I normally take vacation this
literally
time of year.
Like
the smart people, like, yeah, the smart people like Gil take vacation this time of year.
Hey, that's weird. Yeah, why... The unsmart people are sitting here hosting this show.
What are the people who don't get to have this time off because the smart people take off right now?
Right, exactly.
That's what happens. We talked to smart people during the show today. Let's run through some bets because let's not forget. Huge matchup in the World Cup later on today. Argentina and England for a chance to take on Spain in the World Cup final. Christopher Sullivan joined us earlier on the program. He's covered 6 straight World Cups. Former U.S. men's national player. What's he like here today in the World Cup?
Yeah, he is, but he's playing the future on Spain. So he's hitting the futures board. Spain to win World Cup -156. And then in today's game, England, Argentina, he's going to play the draw here. 90 minute draw +190. The great Alex Blowers was on the show earlier as well. Englishman, shocker here, is going to go with England in the 90 minute market as well. Moneyline +160. He's going with England. Great conversation with both those guys, though, about the World Cup.
All right, we have not hit all of your bets for the British Open, though. This is a major event. This is something you great carefully about. Before we get to who you actually like, how do you often do in the British Open?
That's a great question. I actually usually, this is the major I will scale down bets for the most usually.
Really?
Yeah, it's a great question, actually, because in years past, it felt like there was some more randomness to this event. You did have some wild long shot winners, but that's what we're really talking like 25, 30 years ago. So that has changed in recent years for me. We went over a lot of those trends earlier in the week of big time names and big time guys win this event now. It's become a little bit less random. So I'm glad you asked that question because this is of the four majors because of that. When there was a little bit more randomness to who would win, you know, the weather is so dependent on being on the right side of the weather, right? And that's still true. But they've made little tweaks to the event over time where the bigger names and bigger stars in the sport just end up going to the top of the leaderboard far more often.
All right, well, let's look at all of Kelly's bets. Yeah. They'll be up at VSiN.com/picks. You want a more detailed breakdown? There's a new episode of Long Shots that's out right now. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, Wes Reynolds, they have you covered here. What are the outrights first, Mr. Bidlin?
Yeah, 4 outrights for me. I did bypass Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy. I think you could make excellent cases for going with either one of those guys, though. I did go to Matt Fitzpatrick. grabbed him at 20-1. I used a boost over at MGM. Reminder, just this is a great time looking during the majors to see if there are boosts out there from those shops that regularly offer them. So got Matt Fitzpatrick up to 20-1. And then I'm playing Colin Morikawa 31-1. Chris Goddard up 33-1. And Sam Burns 52-1, which Sam Burns is maybe the guy I was not expecting to be on Sam Burns this week. He just had a kid. It was very questionable whether he was even going to play or not. This is your number one stat leader in approach over the last 16 rounds in this field, though. We know what he can do with the putter. He's long enough off the tee. I really like Sam Burns this week. So four outright plays for me this week.
All right. Now, how do you generally decide who you're going to also go outright and top five, top 10, top 20 with? Because as someone who's just getting into betting golf, that's probably my biggest issue. Sometimes I go a little too deep with the top 10. Mm-hmm. And I notice like top 20 seems to be more of a safer play, even though the number's not as good, obviously.
So for me, the way I treat this, and this is different for everybody, right? But if you're seeing me with top five, top 10 bets, these are usually where I'm covering up outrights, right? You hate to be out there on Sunday in the final group and then your guy gets beat out, right? Or you go to a playoff and you get beat out, you don't hit that long outright price. I like to usually cover those with top fives and split up my bets between the outright and top five. If you have each way betting available to you, that's a great option as well. So I played Fitz and Morikawa in the top five market. I will be adding Goddard up here. That didn't make the graphic. We'll be adding Goddard up here in the top five market. Burns, I played a top 10 just because it's a little bit longer. You're still getting over 4-1 on him in that market. So that's how I usually play those. Now you'll notice another name out here. Circa, shout out Circa, great golf prices. I couldn't pass up Scottie Scheffler in the top 10 market at minus 115. You're telling me it's basically a coin flip whether this guy's going to finish in the top 10 or not. You can go look at what he's done all season long. He lives there. He might not be racking up as many wins as he normally does, but a top 10, I think, is a very fair expectation for Scottie Scheffler. And I listened to him yesterday. This is one of those bets I made, Dustin, after listening to him, where he sounded very confident on the grounds yesterday and brushing off very easily the missed cut that he had the week before. Now, how do I put top 20s in tournament matchups are kind of where I sink in more of the bankroll. These are where your odds are going to be closer to even money, right? So these are the ones we really like to bet heavier. Tournament matchups, I have Morikawa over Xander Schauffele at a plus price. I was a little shocked he was the dog in that. And then Ben Griffin, who I don't normally like to bet Ben Griffin, but man, did he rate out very highly for me this week. I'm going to lay minus 125 in a tournament matchup against Victor Perez. And then heavy top 20 card for me this week, Matt Fitzpatrick. I am playing Tommy Fleetwood in this market. Tommy Fleetwood, five straight top 20 finishes. I think the outright price has got prices a little silly. You heard Byron bring it up. Goddard's got five wins since last time he finished top 10 in a major. It's pretty incredible. I think top 20 at his home course with a place he's very familiar with and how he's been playing is reasonable expectations, though. So I did play him here. Also played Morikawa and Burns in the top 20 market. And then Siwoo Kim. You need accuracy off the tee and great approach play. Siwoo Kim's one of the top guys on PGA Tour for that. So plus 190, played Siwoo in the top 20 market.
All right, I'm going to join you on one of these bets. Matt Fitzpatrick. I'm seeing 15-1. I'll see if I can grab that 20-1 that you found.
Yeah, check out MGM.
All right, I'm going to do that. John Rahm, I'm also backing at 22-1. This is just a value play. You saw the way he came out, you know, in past big events recently. I think he wants to like make a statement here after everything's gone on with the LIV Tour. He's capable of hitting if there's any bad weather, although you say there's not going to be much. He's powerful, not a one-trick pony. I just think it's a numbers play. And sure. Then finally, Xander Schauffele. I think I bet Xander Schauffele every single event, but I think there's a reason for it. Just feels like a safe guy. Could be in contention. The iron plays there. He's won this event in the past back in 2024. Those are the three I'm going to build around. I'll add some top 20 potentially, but those are going to be my three outright just because I like the numbers.
I can't. There's nobody on the face of the earth that could tell you that either of those are a bad bet. Sure, there are questions about lead-in form with Rahm and Xander. You weren't getting 29-1 on Xander anytime recently or John Rahm in the 20s in the past few years at any major.
All right, let's add this. And I should also mention Darian Mensah, 16-1, Heisman Trophy. We are officially locking that one up today with Miami at ACC Media Days. We also decided on the second leg of the Exacta for the World Series.
Did you find this number somewhere?
You have to let me know. Caesars?
Okay, great.
Phillies. You parlay it with Detroit to win their pennants, and it's 199-1. I like the Phillies to win the NL. You can get it 7-1. You can get 13-1 in the World Series. And then Detroit to meet them there would be 199-1. I like the upside of both. Those, I think, that's going to be my AL and NL team in the second half that I'm backing. Mets' worst record at 20-1. They have the hardest schedule. They're selling pieces. Rays' best record, 10-1. They're like the Pistons. They're going for it. And then Christopher Sanchez, strikeout leader at 12-1. He is right off the pace. But if Mizorowski's injured, ooh, it could be wide open.
Ooh, like
that'll do it for us here on a numbers game. But stay with VSiN all day long. Prop points, Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen. That is coming up next. Right here on VSiN, it's the Sports Betting Network.